and the first case on the calendar. And I hope I don't mispronounce this. Perhaps counsel can help me if I do. In the matter of the civil commitment of Bong Lang Seng Chan. Very good. Could you approach the podium and begin your argument by introducing yourself?
Thank you, Your Honor. Michael Hager on behalf of Bulang Seng Chang. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly either, but Mr. Seng Chang is very much a special, unique case in my experience. He is currently being in a high security unit, the Omega unit, where he's considered a behavioral issue. But he's also a very complicated person. He was a prisoner of war. He's a Laotian. I believe it was in Thailand he was a prisoner of war and then came to the United States. I misstated that he had 10 years of treatment. He's had 7 years. The first 3 years he would have spent in treatment, he was back in the DOC. So he was doing a prison time. He had been somewhat resistant, and his problem, if you meet him and get to know him, is that he just simply feels totally out of place and totally tortured by not being able to speak his Lao language, not being in an environment where his treatment is totally based on his proficiency in English. It's all the therapy at MSOP is talking in English, and he feels so much at a disadvantage. And I think he has also very complex psychological issues. He's got definite cognitive issues, tested as a verbal IQ of 57. So he's a very unique, not run-of-the-mill sex offender within that program, and yet he's still, after 7 years, placed in conventional treatment programming. And there are other options that are simply not taken. Nothing is, now they do provide a Laotian interpreter twice a week. But when we look at, I've had clients who were considered quite adequately treated by virtue of being from the treatment milieu. That is, inpatient treatment is not simply, you know, 2 days a week of groups for an hour. Inpatient treatment is a 24/7 milieu. And
are you seeking by this action to get different treatment, or seeking, you know, transfer? I mean, what are you seeking
by
this, or discharge? I'm trying to put that together.
Yeah, and just to get the background under the transfer, I think I'm just arguing transfer at this point.
Okay.
Think the other issues, provisional discharge or discharge, were just based on, well, if nothing can be found within MSOP, maybe someone in the community can find a Lao treatment or under discharge. But we're talking specifically about 1 and 4 of the transfer statute, clinical progress and present treatment needs, and then which facility best meets his needs. And we're saying if the standard conventional treatment in phase 2 at MSOP in Moose Lake is not presently meeting his treatment needs, we do know that CPS provides much more tailored treatment. You're not in with hundreds of others. You're very much individualized in your treatment. And we think that after 7 years, perhaps we didn't have any experts saying this, but that his offenses did have something to do with familiarity, that certainly the degree of safety required would be found at CPS, but that CPS, we believed, would frankly treat him as the unique individual that he is, that there's much more individualized treatment available there.
Can I ask, I was not left with the impression that your client is proposing that there is a treatment program that can meet his needs out in the community. Rather, he hopes there is one. So it's not as if one's been identified.
No. We don't have any Laotian cultural sex offender treatment programs that I know of.
So then how would a transfer be appropriate?
Well,
you're essentially saying, well, he's going from one treatment facility, which is allegedly inadequate, to no treatment.
No, at transfer, he would be treated. I think transfer at CPS, he'd be much more individually handled. He's being prevented from alternative treatment programming right now. There is an alternative treatment program that we think is should be made available to him and has been prevented. He's been prevented from going there.
What is that treatment program?
Well, it's alternative treatment. It's the what's called the MAP program or the alternative treatment program in St. Peter. But we can't ask for that under the existing statute.
And that's my next question.
Yeah.
Because as I understand your argument, it's he's not getting the treatment he needs at MSOP.
Yeah.
He should be somewhere else, so we need to move him someplace else to get him more appropriate treatment. But I'm not seeing that that's a basis under the statute, pursuant to which your petition was brought, to transfer somebody. So I'm not saying it's not a legitimate argument.
Yeah.
It's just that can you get that relief by petitioning for a reduction
in custody?
Thank you. A reduction in custody under the statute. Because
It
seems like that statute says, okay, here's what you need to show to get a reduction of custody. You seem to be asking for a reduction of custody for reasons other than those enumerated in the statute.
Well, there are two. Definitely they're in the statute. But so it's MSOP. So the Community Preparation Services is MSOP treatment. It is simply not behind the razor wire, and it's much more individuated. The clients there are much fewer in number and much more closely followed. But what is available there is that they could make available alternative treatment for him.
To satisfy the transfer standard, you'd have to show that there's no need for security to accomplish treatment, no need for continued institutionalization. And I mean, the record, the appeal panel found, does not show that. And it doesn't seem that you're challenging the actual findings of the appeal panel under the factors that govern a reduction of custody.
Well, based on their competency of evidence findings. You know, he has a staunch community of backers in the Christian Lao community who, and several of them did testify as to his safety. Those are not risk assessors. And what's deemed competent evidence is by the risk assessors, but he spoke himself and he had people speaking on his behalf. He has a large assembly of supporters and family in the Twin Cities.
When Dr. Powers did her evaluation with respect to the transfer issue, Mr. Hager, was she presented with this specific alternative that you are suggesting, or was she just looking more generally?
I think more generally. I don't recall any anything about the unique nature of his case.
Okay.
So can you clarify, are you challenging the judicial appeal panel's ruling on the request for discharge or provisional discharge?
Well, I'm saying I think they need to consider at least present treatment needs under the statute at point one and which facility best meets the needs. Well, they did do that. I think they should do that from the view of whether treatment has been shown to be adequate. And I'm arguing that that is part of the process, certainly under the Travis case and going way back to Jolson, that we can take a look at adequacy. That's the point of having these review SRB, not only the adequacy of his performance, but the adequacy, the match, for the treatment. Is the treatment adequate for this individual?
What if the treatment's not adequate, but the individual is not behaving in a way that suggests he can safely be transferred to a non-secure facility?
Well, alternative.
I read your brief to say, well, even if there's no treatment, then you should just let him go.
Well, the alternative is life imprisonment, because if he's not being progressed, if they haven't found a way to progress him, that at some point there has to be review of that issue. He can't spend the rest of his life there with treatment that's not, and he's a unique case. There are other people who make the same argument, but they don't have the English language, Lao language issue. They don't have the 57 IQ. He's a unique case, and he also has mental illness issues because he is quite despairing in this milieu. He's not in a happy place where he's, progressing in treatment. He's being treated as a behavior issue. And I have a client who's considered a behavioral issue. He went back to the Department of Corrections where he was a model prisoner in a much more severe criminal atmosphere just because for some people, the treatment milieu is not functioning for them. They may go to groups, have good groups, but the overall milieu is not a treatment-centered milieu for them, for certain individuals. And I'm saying for him, that's the case. Not for everyone, maybe not for most people it's working, it seems to be working, but for him it just simply does not work, and he has unique features that make that possible.
And I just want to be clear on this. So are you saying when he's transferred to the less secure DOC facility, there will be treatment available to him that's specific to his cultural needs and language barriers?
Well, I'm thinking it's much more possible, but I think the main argument, and we probably didn't bring this out well enough, is that if somebody is in the alternative program down at St. Peter and they get moved into CPS, they don't cease having alternative care. And so our argument was that he would be right there where alternative care could be provided to him. If they're not going to move him to St. Peter to alternative programming, well, then he'll be accessible to it if he's at CPS.
How so? I mean, what program is it? I'm having a hard time conceptualizing what's supposed to happen. He gets moved to St. Peter, and then what's his treatment program as you believe it should be to address his particular circumstances?
Much more involvement from the Lao community.
How so?
I mean, I think he could have...
do we have a large Lao community in St. Peter?
Not in St. Peter, but in his support group. He has a whole community of Laotians and family members, and he's quite isolated up in Moose Lake.
And I understand that, but how is that support group going to provide sex offender treatment that's comparable to the professional treatment that's provided at MSOP?
As to treatment, he would have the resources of the alternative programming unit. That's my understanding, which means they go much slower, they delve in much more individually, and they would know how to deal with someone with an IQ of 57.
Was any of this presented to the Judicial Appeal Panel?
I believe we had that IQ of 57 in there.
Well, I understand that, but I think what's glaringly absent from the record is a proposal of an alternative treatment plan. I noticed
that
he didn't propose an alternative treatment plan, which the statute requires for discharge. It seems like the request is, well, let's just release him to a less secure facility and we'll hope that more appropriate treatment becomes available to him without actually proposing an alternative treatment plan.
You're right on that.
Okay.
We're looking more at the idea that the status quo cannot be maintained.
And if that is your argument, and it's a due process argument, as I understand your briefing, my question is that argument properly raised in the context we're dealing with, which is a request for reduction in custody under the statutory standards that govern such a request, or is that an argument that should be made in an alternative proceeding challenging continued detention in violation of the substantive due process rights?
Under Blodgett and Travis, I think what's contemplated in periodic review is the periodic review of the treatment.
But it's There is periodic review of the treatment in the context of the statutory standard that governs the decision regarding whether or not there should be a reduction in custody. So I agree with you. That's in there, but ultimately you need to apply these statutory standards. And to the extent you're not even proposing an alternative treatment program, you seem to be saying that this violates due process. He's being held in a treatment facility. He's not getting treatment. We don't have an alternative to identify for him, but at some point, enough's enough. And that seems to be a very different situation than what's contemplated by the factors in 253D.
Yeah, we felt we addressed what meets the best needs of the patient under the statute. Okay.
Thank you for your argument.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is R.J. Dietrich. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the respondent, the Commissioner of Human Services. Now, appellant is in the second phase of a three-phase MSOP treatment program. And although he's nominally in the second phase, he continues to work on treatment goals from the first phase of controlling his behavior, complying with MSOP supervision and rules, and controlling his emotions. And that's because behavior has been a huge problem for him at MSOP. In the months leading up to his July hearing before the Judicial Appeal Panel, he received numerous behavioral expectation reports for violating MSOP rules. Those included violations like fighting with another client, verbally abusing other clients and staff members, failing to comply with staff directives, theft, making alcohol, etc. Now, admittedly, there is a bit of a language barrier in his treatment, but it's not as if he speaks no English. In fact, he's described in some treatment records as speaking English well. And he is, as Mr. Hager mentioned, provided with an interpreter, and he even has weekly meetings, individual meetings with his individual therapist and that interpreter to go over the sex offender treatment assignments that he doesn't understand.
Can you tell me, what is the, if the claim is founded on inadequacy of the treatment program and a violation of due process because of that, what's the appropriate vehicle if not this? Is that before us? And if not, what is the appropriate vehicle for a person to make that claim, to seek relief if they're not being provided what they need constitutionally to address their underlying issue?
Your Honor, I don't believe that's properly before this panel, and that's because the Commitment Act only provides for transfer, provisional discharge, or discharge based on the statutory factors that are in the Commitment Act for those forms of relief. And as the Minnesota Supreme Court stated in In Re Civil Commitment of Lonergan, that's the only issue on a petition for reduction in custody.
But he's asking for a transfer. He's saying, I want a transfer so I'll get more appropriate treatment. So does it fit in there?
His argument that he's not receiving effective treatment, I would say, isn't embraced by the transfer factors. The factors include...
Well, the first factor is the person's clinical progress and present treatment needs.
Correct, Your Honor. And I would argue that he's not...
So if his needs aren't being met in the current program, wouldn't that be a relevant consideration?
I suppose it would be a relevant consideration, Your Honor, yes. But the court determined that that factor did not support a transfer because he still continues to be early on in treatment and... He doesn't have insight into his offending.
The Judicial Appeal Panel addressed that factor, but, excuse me, in its analysis doesn't mention low IQ or language barriers. So, I mean, that seems to be the complaint here. We should remand this, and the Judicial Appeal Panel should have to consider those factors when addressing the first factor of the transfer statute.
Your Honor, although the Judicial Appeal Panel may have not specifically noted the language barriers and the IQ issue under that factor, but it did clearly consider that because it noted that there is a language barrier and that he does receive interpreter services in its order. Also, as the court asked Mr. Hager, and as I think Mr. Hager admitted, there's no evidence in the record that his treatment, if he were to be transferred to CPS, would be any different, any more attenuated to meet those cultural needs that he says are an issue, that he would have more interpreter services or...
So if there were, you know, let's posit for a moment that he says there's none available anywhere, but he can't continue to be detained in... you know, indefinitely if the state is not providing him treatment. What is the vehicle to make that challenge? Is it a 1983 claim? What does one do in that situation if not this?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, I would reject the proposition of your question because under Kansas versus Hendricks, even if effective treatment isn't available, that doesn't mean that a person who's dangerous and who has a sexual disorder can't be committed and can't continue to be committed. As far as the most appropriate situation to raise that claim, I guess I'm not entirely sure what that would be. Perhaps a habeas petition would be an opportunity, but I think clearly this is not the appropriate realm to raise a substantive due process challenge to the adequacy of his treatment. And even if it were, I think that challenge would fail. Because in order to make out a substantive due process challenge, first you have to show that there's a substantive due process right that is being infringed. And second, that there's some conscience-shocking behavior by state actors. And I would argue that Mr. Sangchain hasn't satisfied either of those prongs. First, there's no substantive due process right to effective sex offender treatment, and that's established in the Eighth Circuit cases that are cited in my brief, Karsgins and Strutton versus Meade. And although appellant cites some state Supreme Court cases that mention a substantive due process right to effective treatment, those cases don't actually recognize that right. As in Bailey versus Newt, which is one of the cases he cites, the court mentions a right to effective treatment in dictum. And in Jolson, another case that appellant cites, the court specifically notes that the mention in Bailey versus Newt of a right to effective treatment was dicta, and that the court had never actually addressed whether there is such a right. Now, turning to the conscious shocking behavior argument, appellant has been consistently offered sex offender treatment while at MSOP, and he's even advanced to the second stage of treatment. He's also consistently been provided with an interpreter, and as I said, he even has individual meetings with that interpreter and his primary therapist to go over sex offender treatment assignments that he doesn't understand. So I don't see anything that's conscience-shocking there. It appears from the record, from my review of the record, and I think the court's review of the record as well, that what has held appellant back in treatment is not a language barrier or the other things that Mr. Hager's pointed out, but the fact that he's unable to control his emotions, he's unable to control his behavior, and he refuses to accept responsibility for his offending behavior and instead blames it on cultural differences. Also in considering whether a transfer was appropriate for appellant and whether appellant had met his burden of persuasion on that issue, the court has to consider other factors as well, besides that first factor, including the need for security to accomplish continuing treatment, the need for continued institutionalization, and whether a transfer can be accomplished with a reasonable degree of safety for the public. And the court clearly noted that if appellant can't control his behavior in his current setting, there's no reason to believe that he's going to be able to control his behavior in a less secure setting with less structure, and also that appellant, as determined by the examiners who looked at this case, the independent examiner and the risk assessor, has an above average risk of sexual recidivism, and so his a transfer could not be accomplished with a reasonable degree of safety for the public. So the court, looking at all five of those factors and the fact that none of the experts who looked at this case believed that transfer was appropriate, appropriately determined that appellant had not met his burden of persuasion as to transfer, and appropriately dismissed his petition as to transfer, as well as his petition as to discharge and provisional discharge. But it sounds like Mr. Hager isn't challenging those today, so I won't go into those unless the court wants me to. So if there are no more questions, I would just, in conclusion, say that the commissioner asks that the court affirm the panel's decision to grant the commissioner's motion to dismiss and deny the petition for transfer, provisional discharge, and discharge. Thank you.
Mr. Hager, we are our standard of review is we're looking for clear error and whether or not the evidence here supports the findings that the judicial appeal panel made. Could you be specific as to what you would direct us to as error?
I think it was before the court, that treatment adequacy is an issue in the case. And I'm not sure it was specifically addressed. The court did take note that he has a 57 verbal IQ. I don't think they really appreciated a verbal IQ of 57 really is an impairment, a serious impairment in this milieu.
So your brief asks us to remand for further proceedings consistent with standards for providing adequate treatment.
Yes.
So that seems to be what you're asking for.
Yes.
And the question I have is, okay, present treatment needs is one of the considerations for a transfer.
Yeah.
But there are four other factors. You're not assigning error to the judicial appeal panel's findings on those four other factors. So the question becomes, are you essentially saying that even though you don't satisfy four out of the five factors, if your present treatment needs could be better met somewhere else, and that's a hypothetical because we don't actually have hard evidence regarding an alternative treatment program specific to his cultural needs, then there should be a transfer nonetheless?
Well, we did make arguments on all five factors. We understand that our evidence did.
But in your brief, you don't...
No.
At all say the judicial appeal panel erred in its consideration of the factors or in its ruling on discharge or provisional discharge. And as to the transfer, the only thing you seem to be arguing is the judicial appeal panel erred in failing to consider in its analysis of the first factor for legal standard for transfer his specific cultural needs. I mean, that seems to be the only error you're assigning, as evidenced by your request that this be remanded so there would be further proceedings on that factor.
Yeah, under the strict scrutiny standard adopted by this court, not under the Eighth Circuit, shock the conscience, although we think this does shock the conscience. Travis is not overruled. I shepherdized that. The long tradition in this court is to permit review under strict scrutiny after a person has been placed in treatment. You know, the cases, Bailey versus Newt was a case prior to the transfer into the treatment, and the proposed treatment setting was, not ripe. But Jolson did remand. There's two Jolson cases, one where they remanded for further evidence of the district court, and then when they came back to the Supreme Court on Jolson, they said the evidence showed that the proposed treatment would be adequate. So we think that's still effective in this process, and we would just want strict scrutiny applied on the issue of the adequacy of the treatment being offered to a person with a 57 verbal IQ and allow language.
So the judicial appeal panel was presented with evidence both that he had progressed from phase one to phase two, he had made some progress, he had an interpreter, the interpreter was made available to him in the session, as well as after the session to do some one-on-one with the therapist to make sure he understood what was going on. So that was before the panel.
Yeah.
And then the panel was presented with an argument that this is all inadequate because his low IQ and his language barrier. And the panel, judicial appeal panel, said, well, on factor one, he loses nonetheless.
Yeah. The nature of inpatient treatment is it's 24/7. If he were an outpatient treatment, this probably would have been adequate. But he's an inpatient treatment, that's a whole other.
But he's an inpatient
million.
Treatment, and that goes to the other four factors that talk about safety, security, which facility can best meet the person's needs.
Right. I think based on our...
Is this a balancing? I mean, even if the judicial appeal panel said, well, you know, maybe he could be provided with something more culturally appropriate in another setting, and that's a hypothetical because we've not been presented with that program. Nonetheless, he's doing well enough where he is, and the efforts that are being made are reasonable, and he should not be transferred.
Yeah, we have...
I'm just not seeing what it is the panel failed to consider here.
Failed to consider the inadequacy of his conditions and the way he's being treated is not okay. Treatment.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Appreciate the arguments in the briefing. The matter is submitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.